Torah 101. Thinking of the days of Nehemiah, when Ezra, the Torah teacher, stood before the people as Israel had come back from Babylon. And as he read the words of the Torah, the people wept because they had not heard the Torah in so long. And it was so powerful and moving that they poured out their emotions as the Torah touched their souls. Today we move forward into a new parasha called Toldot, which means history, which is the first primary word of this portion, beginning in Genesis 25:19. Here is the history of Yitzhak, Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Yitzhak. So now Yitzhak is a reality. What was thought to be an impossibility has proven to be a possibility and a reality. Now it's being written that he has reached a certain age. And this is the way it is when God brings to pass what we thought could never happen. There comes a point where even that event becomes history, and we can look back and say it's been 40 years, 14 or 4 years or 4 months since God did that. So verse 20, Yitzhak was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel the Aramite from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban, the Aramite, to be his wife. And Yitzhak prayed to Adonai on behalf of his wife, because she was childless. Adonai heeded his prayer, and Rivka became pregnant. Prayer changes things. As Yitzhak would have learned from his own father and mother, the power of prayer and never to give up. And Yitzhak follows that model and prays for his own wife, who was unable to become pregnant. In those days, it was a very serious thing to not be able to have children, to carry on your name. And no doubt Yitzhak is aware also of his own calling passed down through his father, that through his seed, the whole world would come into the abundant blessing of the God of Israel. So you can maybe sense the pressure, knowing that it's up to your descendants to carry this on. But in reality, if it's God's calling, then there is no pressure. He will bring it to pass. And we can just trust him for the future. The children fought with each other inside her so much that she said, "If it's going to be like this, why go on living?" So she went to inquire of Adonai, who answered her, "These are two nations in your womb. From birth, they will be two rival peoples. One of these peoples will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." So this future prediction that these two babies will give way to two different people groups. The older one will be named Esau. The younger one will be named Jacob, Esau, and Yaakov. And they will be at war with each other. And it will come to pass that this will become true. From Esau will come the Edomites, other future enemies of Israel, the Edomites. And from Jacob will come the Israelites, the Jewish people. And they will remain at enmity with each other throughout their history. Interesting that the most famous Edomite of all time would become known as King Herod the Great, the tyrant. If you remember the story, who ordered the massacre in Bethlehem, in an attempt to kill the Messiah, the King of the Jews that was born. He was an Edomite, later known as Idumeans in history. So this conflict that is being spoken of would carry on through the centuries. Today there are theories, I will call them, of the existence of the Edomites, that today the Palestinian people are partially descended from the Edomites. It is a theory. We do read in Ezekiel 36, you can study later on your own if you like, but Ezekiel 36, 37, and onward are all prophecies that involve the times we live in or future times, things that have not happened. And 36 and 37, I think, are contemporary prophecies, things that are happening today or that have happened in the past 100 years, and it mentions Edom as being a people who seized the land of the Jewish people and tried to keep it for themselves. So, something to consider. Carrying on, regardless, we have this prophecy of the two nations in the womb, rival nations. Verse 24, when the time came for her delivery, there were twins in her womb. The first to come out was reddish and covered all over with hair, like a coat. So they named him Esau, which means completely formed. Full grown. In other words, he had hair already. And then his brother emerged with his hand holding Esau's heel. So he was called Yaakov, Jacob, that is, which means he catches by the heel or supplanter. And Yitzhak was 60 years old when she bore them. So we have a preliminary description of the life of these men. One is going to be hairy, which kind of speaks of the wild nature of Esau. And then Yaakov will be catching by the heel. In other words, a deal maker, a supplanter, kind of a conniving personality. Verse 27, the boys grew, and Esau became a skillful hunter and outdoorsman, while Yaakov was a quiet man who stayed in the tents. Yitzhak favored Esau because he had a taste for game, and Rivka favored Yaakov. So Isaac favors Esau, because Esau was a hunter and he brought in good meat. Isaac was a fan of barbecued meat. And Rebecca favored Jacob because he stayed at home and helped Rebecca, no doubt, in the house, in their tent. Verse 29, one day when Yaakov had cooked some stew, Esav came in from the open country, exhausted, and said to Yaakov, "Please, let me gulp down some of that red stuff, that red stuff. I'm exhausted." This is why he was called Edom, or Edom, which means red. He liked the red lentils, this red soup, and eventually his people became known as red. Others believe that Esav was covered in red hair, that he was a redhead. And this is why the people became known as Edom, or red. So Yaakov answered, "First sell me your rights as the firstborn." Jacob grabbing his brother here in a figurative way by the heel. "Sell me your rights as the firstborn," he asked. Now, the firstborn had significant rights. He had the primary rights as the heir to receive the primary portion of the inheritance of his parents, plus he had the spiritual responsibility of the family. It was tremendous spiritual clout given to the firstborn. So Yaakov wants that right, and he's willing to trade for it. But Esav says, "Look, I am about to die. What use to me are my rights as the firstborn?" Yaakov said, "First swear to me." So he swore to him, thus selling his birthright to Yaakov. When you entered into an oath like this, like we saw Abraham and his servant last time, the servant placing his hand under the thigh, it was a binding agreement. So Esav doesn't have the spiritual sensitivity or the care to enter into the calling of the firstborn. And he just sort of gives it away under oath for this bowl of stew. Yaakov gave him bread, verse 34, and lentil stew. He ate and drank, got up, and went on his way. Thus Esav showed how little he valued his birthright. Chapter 26, verse 1, a famine came over the land, not the same as the first famine, which had taken place when Abraham was alive. And Yitzhak went to Gerar, to Avimelech, king of the Philistines. And Adonai appeared to him and said, "Don't go down into Egypt, but live where I tell you. Stay in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, because I will give all these lands to you and to your descendants. I will fulfill the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will give all these lands to your descendants, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth will bless themselves." So a reiterating of the covenant given to his father Abraham, Isaac now, Yitzhak, receives the same, that the lands, and he says all these lands, which again, God's intent was to give him more than Israel ever would have possessed. He wanted them to have it all. Today, if we were to measure it out, it would be equal to something like a third of the existing Middle East. That's how much land God had deeded over to the descendants of Isaac. And also, again, the reiteration that by Isaac's descendants, all the nations of the earth will bless themselves. So a slightly different meaning here, that through the Jewish people and the patriarchs of the Jewish people, all the nations would summon those names as blessing. In other words, the Goyim, the nations of the earth, would find blessing in those patriarchs and their teachings and their words. And entering into the tents of Shem, remember the prophecy way back in the beginning of Genesis, a God promised that the descendants of Japheth or Japheth would come under the tents of Shem, who would be the progenitor of the Semites, that there would be a spiritual covering over the descendants of Japheth, which eventually became primarily the European peoples, that they would enter into a blessing through the Jewish people in a spiritual sense. Verse 5, all this is because Abraham heeded what I said and did what I told him to do. He followed my mitzvot, which means commandments, my regulations and my teachings. So the blessing was laid out, but to inherit the blessing, Abraham had to obey and do what God said to do. And it is true. If we want to experience the experiential side of the covenant of God, experience all of it, God doesn't change or take it away. It's just that through disobedience, we may not experience in reality all that God has promised to give us. This is Torah 101 Daily.